Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben, and no Nick this week. No Nick because he's one of those people that has that thing. It's one of those things called a job. What is that? I don't know what it is, but it sounds like really miserable. It sounds like a miserable experience having to have a job, but you know, it is what it is. Gotta live your life. But I've already replaced him. Good news. I'm considering replacing him. He's considering replacing himself because, let's be honest, it's been getting a little boring lately. We need to shake it up. So we're going to shake it up with our special guest today. Video casting in from the United States somewhere in an undisclosed location. It's our good friend Brian Gordon from Foul Language Comics. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Hello from undisclosed
location. Undisclosed government location where they force you to draw comics all the time.
Here in the bunker.
Yeah. So while you may not recognize Brian's name, you will absolutely recognize the comic because it has, if I may say so myself, just completely taken off on its own. To a crazy perspective.
Yes.
And congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, one of the things that really resonates with people with why it's so popular is because you kind of talk about and, you know, to a certain extent, vent about your parenting experience in a way that a lot of people connect with because it's you know, it's not always stuff that we can say out loud,
no.
To a certain extent.
What do you draw yourself as a dog?
Right, yeah. But yeah, so this is kind of an expression of your parenthood to a certain extent, right?
Yes, it is. I was doing a comic a while back called Chuck and Beans, and that was all about. It was an older strip, and it came from. I started it 8 years ago. And I was still kind of coasting on memories of being a young single guy. So this strip was all about what it was like to be dating and, you know, like just playing video games. And that was pretty much the thrust of the strip. But as time wore on and I became less and less young and less and less single and became more and more of a parent, it just... it started to ring hollow for me and became harder and harder to write. So right. I started doing a script on the side just for shits and giggles, if I can say shits. Yay, shits! I started doing that that just felt a lot more like this is my world. You know, it became like harder to write stuff about who I wasn't, and then, you know, being able to vent about the day-to-day frustrations was just so much easier because, you know, the sort of frustrations and craziness that I deal with every day, it was just kind of a nice outlet and a nice way to kind of cheaper than therapy, I guess.
Right. So yeah, you got started in comics beforehand. Yes. Was this like a thing you were interested in, you know, like high school, college, that sort of thing? Like, did you think of it as a career type?
Well, that was the thing. It's ever since I was like 6 or something, I was never a sports kid. I was never a smart kid. There wasn't a whole lot of options open to me other than just drawing talking animals from a very young age.
I think nice.
My parents kind of saw that, you know, as I was drawing, copying pictures out of the funny papers. It was kind of like, it was this or, you know, word of the state. So it was, I kind of like, okay, you know, at a very early age, I discovered the word syndicated cartoonist. So at like 7 years old, I was telling people I was going to be a syndicated cartoonist because that's what Peanuts was, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, I'd seen some stuff on TV or something, and I'm like, oh, that's what you do. So I pretty much decided at a pretty early age, like, some kids want to be, you know, cowboys or astronauts or
right.
whatever. I'm like, no, I'm going to be a cartoonist. And most people, you know, like, when they get a little bit older and smarter, they realize that their little pipe dreams are stupid, and they get a real job or they move on, and I'm stubborn or stupid enough to, I'm like, no, I'm going to do that.
Dedication. Well, we'll call it dedication.
I'm going to stick to my guns yeah. and, you know, take the career advice of my 7-year-old self and just keep doing that until death. So I went through high school and just kind of like, everybody else was like, oh, we're learning skills and getting smart. I'm like, yeah, I don't need that. I'm just going to do this cartoon. They're like, really? You might want to learn how to type or anything. Nope. This is what I'm doing. I just give you an idea. The eighth grade, they had a, to go on to high school, they had a variety of things. Like, okay, well, you could go into the really, grew up in kind of a crummy city in Massachusetts, and you could either go to the really nice private school, there was a public school, or there was a vocational school, and at the time, I was so just, like, single-focused on drawing, whatever, that my grades were in the absolute toilet, and I remember I didn't have the grades to get into vocational school, because it was like, we don't need this kid around scissors.
Like, right.
This is the guy you want to hand a hammer to. This kid just needs to, maybe a shovel. So I really kind of put all my money on drawing and single-mindedly, and then I went to, somehow I got into college. And then I did that for, got out, and at the time I was, bought into the whole art school thing, so I, for whatever reason, I kind of got off track, and I was like, I am a serious artist, and I did these big, ugly oil paintings and stuff, and then, you know, my teachers asked me, like, why are all your sketches, like, doodles, and then you do these big, ugly oil paintings, and I'm like, ooh, this is what I like to draw, and then, got out of art school, paid fives upon fives of dollars freelancing, lived in my parents' basement, and then went back to school to be a teacher, so I could teach a whole new generation how to make fives of dollars.
Nice.
And then while at Syracuse in upstate New York, I stumbled into a internship at Hallmark, and which I figured I'd do for a couple of years, become rich and famous, and live on the coast somewhere.
Right, it'd be the pride of Hallmark. Yeah,
exactly. The how that works. You know, artists, super rich, famous. So I did. So 18 years later, they laid me off from that job. Skipped it right over the rich and famous thing.
Damn.
And in the process of all that, of making greeting cards for 18 years, I got better at making cartoons. Thank God. And here I am today, where I'm like still kind of taking the advice of 7-year-old me trying to do the cartooning thing. And, but I don't know, I feel like I've kind of finally found my niche, or like, okay, I'm doing cartoons, which I love, and I'm writing about being a dad, which I also love, and it's they're a never-ending source of inspiration and frustration and
and hilarity ensues. Yeah,
that's nothing is more unfunny than like a good life, and you know, like, when things are going well, that's both boring and not funny, and that's not, luckily my life is anything but, so it's just like, every day is just one big frustration fest, with the kids, so it's just ripe for humor, So, yeah, that's, I basically come home, try and get work done, the kids interrupt, and drive me nuts. And
inspire.
Yeah, exactly. One of those sort of things where, like, by them preventing me from doing any work, they are inspiring further work. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice how this can all...
This is a nice little order to the chaos.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, they're pissing me off and being like, Daddy's trying to draw the Tucker Tune! it's a crazy thing to scream at a seven-year-old.
Right.
But in the process, you know, like, oh, there's inspiration for the next cartoon. So, anyways... So, more than you needed to know.
No, that's perfect. And actually, you know, so we were talking the other day, and you had said something about your oldest, and also being interested in drawing to a certain extent, kind of passing it on as like a family thing, and it actually reminded me of a Monty Python sketch. Because I grew up with parents of the 60s who just wanted to, you know, share their whole thing with me. Wherein, so it's one of those, the sketch is set up like a TV drama, where, you know, the son comes home and he's at odds with his father, you know, because his father's got the down-to-earth farmer's type job, and his son went off to the city and got a city job where he wears suits and sits at a desk, you know, that sort of thing. But they switched it to where the father is a writer, and the son works for a company that makes drills, that drills like diamond mines and stuff like that. So he comes home and they're at odds with each other, and all of a sudden his father, you know, grabs his hand and passes out. He's like, oh, no, it's the wound. The writer's cramp. Oh, no. So this neat dramatized version of the reverse life of having an artistic father. You know?
That's the funny thing is the, you know, one of the few things I can pass on to my kids. It is like, how to draw, and which is, you know, nice. I remember getting excited telling my wife when my son started, you know, getting to be a certain age. Like, I when I first had a kid, when we first learned that we were having our first child, Max, my 7-year-old, I remember I ran out and, you know, I got a whole pile of like how to draw and teaching the child artistic, whatever. And then, so the child was born, and I have this, like, stack of books. And, you know, it's like, turns out, you know, babies can't do shit. So I'm like, all right, let's talk color theory.
And right.
Like, oh, wait, you don't have motor skills. You can't hold it. You don't know how to smile yet. I'm like, okay, let's slow that down. Maybe you should build up strength in your neck before
right.
Try and teach you how to, you know, do cross hatching or something. so I put the books away for a while, let my kids learn how to sit up on their own, and then I came back years later, and I remember telling my wife, I'm like, they're finally old enough, I can teach them how to draw. And it was just my wife is like, couldn't you teach them something else?
Like multiplication tables or anything?
I'm like, can you teach them how to be a doctor or something? You know, we are chock full artists. Like, and we are at maximum capacity for artists in this family as it is. And I'm like, nope. You know, it's not like, I wish, you know, this whole cartooning thing was like, like, I was sitting on my, like, brain surgeon, like, no, you know what? They're going to have to wait on the cancer cure, because I have to really get these cartoons out. You know, I'm going to call into my job at the rocket scientist factory and tell them that I'm calling in sick. I get a few more cartoons to do, and then I'm rushing right into work. but that is not the case. You know,
well, hey, you never know. I mean, you know, it could end up, you know, cartoonist first, and then the real intelligence stuff comes out later. Kind of like with the lead singer of Weezer, right? So he's the lead singer of Weezer, but he also, after their second album sold very well, he went to Harvard and got his degree there. You know, so yeah, you never know.
Brian May from Queen.
Right.
You know, I think he's like an astrophysicist or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's in the cards for me. I've seen my SAT scores. I wish, you know, like, it would be great if I was some, like, hyper late bloomer.
Well, here's a question for you.
Sure.
So when I was in, when I was in junior high school, I hated math. I still hate math. Yeah, I just, you know, like, I can understand physics. Physics I'm good with when I'm actually, you know, actively involved in physics, but putting a mathematical theorem to such things, it's just ridiculous. But what I did like to do was draw over my notebook. I would do little sketches and doodles and stuff like that. And at one point, my counselor, so we had a little meeting. It was me and my parents and my teacher and my counselor. And my counselor was like, well, Is there anything that we can do? Because it was like the early 2000s, and they were all about, well, instead of trying to change our kids for the curriculum, why don't we change our curriculum for the kids, you know? So she's like, is there any way that we can work in, you know, your love of doodling and your interest in art into math? Like, can you doodle math problems? Can you do that sort of thing? you think there's any... Would there be any hope for that?
I wish I was good at math. Like, my understanding of physics begins and ends at, like, Angry Birds.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a sort of like my son is in second grade, and already he's starting to, like, he came home and there was some, like, you know, and this is how dumb I am, I don't even remember the word, but he was... he'd spewed some, like, some math term at me, and I'm like, that's not a real word. And he's like, no, it is. I'm like, no, I think you're thinking the word addition. And he's like, no, that's not. And we went back and forth. And I was in the car, and I stopped at a stoplight. I'm like, no, look, I will, like, what's the word? And he told me, and I looked it up, and I'm like, I'll be damned. I'm like, I'm like, all right, well. And I'm out.
It's this new math, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it was, you know, the sort of thing, and somebody out there will know, but it was like how, like, 1 plus 2 is the same as 2 plus 1. It was like some sort of...
Oh, yeah. I used to know what that was called. Yeah.
Whatever the term that was. I will say I understand that. How right. But, you know, I don't know what the hell that's called. But my son does. I remember I was in, when I was in grad school, and people are never not surprised to hear that I went to grad school. I'm like, yeah, I have a master's. I'm like, no. No, bigger. And you can do it too.
Oh, I got a master's with cartoons, and you can too, by Brian Gordon.
Like,
there you go.
Let it be known, kids. I remember we were in a studio with a bunch of kids that, you know, it was kind of, well, not an exchange thing, but they're from Thailand, and you know, and English was definitely their second language, but, you know, as part of the program, they had to learn English. And I remember one of them was like, you know, like, can you, this is my friend Otto at the time, he's, can you help me diagram this sentence? And I was like, oh, and he, you know, like, he handed me this thing, and I'm like, nope, I wish I could, I speak it, but rarely do I ever sit down and diagram the English, so I'm like, nope, you know more about this than I do. You've been here in the country for about a month, and you're I better learn how to draw ducks or something.
Or chickens. Or chickens.
Yeah, or chickens. Or, yeah.
Just some kind of poultry, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, any sort of bird. I'm actually, as we spoke before, I'm in the process of doing some chicken cartoons for a poultry company. Because, you know, I'm already being pegged as the guy who draws birds.
And hey, own it, you know.
And that's fine.
You're the bird drawing guy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For the record, I can draw bunnies and kitties, and I'll fix it. If anybody's listening out there.
Yeah, if any multimillionaires need some need some kitty drawings, yeah.
18 years at Hallmark, I'm well versed in the bunny, kitty, puppy, whatever world of talking animals. Especially if they're saying something to the extent of happy birthday or something. I'm really good at that. So, yeah, that's pretty much my skill set right there. But
So here's a question for you from a both the perspective of, you know, parenting as well as, you know, one of the key things to the success of the comic was social media. Yeah, you know, your Facebook page is just off the hook right now. It's crazy. But
it's nicely ramped up in the last few months.
So. Yeah, it's awesome, man.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. So how do you feel about social media and you know, kids engaging in social media, especially now that you got a it's strange to say, but especially now that you have a 7-year-old, yes. You know, it's kind of around the 7 to 10 range these days when kids first get their phones and start tweeting and stuff like that. It's, which, even as a 90s kid, it's weird to me. You know, like, it's just so strange. But so do you guys ever talk about that? Like, do you sit down and talk about the internet stuff with your son?
It's funny. It is a huge concern. My son, you know, he's still so, you know, and I know a lot of 7-year-olds are already cussing up a storm, and God knows his dad is, but my son is, he's still so sweet and innocent, God bless him, and so he doesn't know most of the swear words, and I have to keep him away from his own dad's comics about him.
Right.
You know, because he's learning, he's a pretty good reader at this point, but it's kind of nuts where he, like, right now, he knows I put things, he knows what a Facebook is, but he's, you know, he doesn't have his own page or anything, obviously, and, you know, we've kind of explained to him that, you know, I draw these comics, and then a lot of people see them, and, you know, then they, you know, either tell me that they hate me, or they like it, or whatever, and, you know, and then daddy cries, or whatever, just like him getting on the computer and being a little autonomous is like kind of scary. Where he was, I was showing him some the other day, as any good father should. I was showing him some Godzilla videos. And,
nice.
And there was a montage that I came across on YouTube. I forget, but it was like, you know, like Godzilla kicks ass or something, and it was like, okay, and it was like a montage of like Godzilla fight scenes, and I'm like, okay, that's cool, that's not the boring singing Japanese children stuff. I'm like, this is the meat and potatoes of Godzilla, this is why I loved it. So this is, you know, Godzilla punching a giant lobster in the face. So, like, this
I just love that phrase, meat and potatoes Godzilla. That, like, that's gotta be its own thing now.
Raise them well. What do I know? I can draw ducks, and I can explain why Godzilla is punching a giant lobster. So I sit my son down, and I'm like, okay, and, you know, like, daddy gets 7 minutes to, I don't know, get a cup of coffee or use the bathroom or whatever. I'm like, you here, watch the video. And I'm in the bathroom, and I just hear, like, rap music, and I'm like, and my son's like, what's this? And it was just like the YouTube algorithm went like, kick ass, ass, you want ass videos? It was just like went from like Godzilla to like Tor
Oh my god.
My son is just, like, watching some, like, outrageous twerking, like, this isn't Godzilla. I'm like, no, that's not Godzilla. That's not Godzilla. I'm like, just like, so I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I just, it's such a Pandora's box. And I'm like, ah. So the other day, like, there was, he saw the word ass, and that was, like, in one of my cartoons or something. And he's like, what's ass? And I'm like, like, well, it's kind of like your bottom, but it's not, it's like not a nice word, and we don't use it, so, you know, I'm already trying to, like, just, like, just so you know, there's lots of words that you shouldn't be using.
Just so you know, your dad is kind of on that dark side of the internet that we don't want you to be a part of, yeah.
Yeah, just so you know, your dad's a huge hypocrite, and, if you could take the high road and not be as horrible as your dad, learn how to add, son. You might want to learn how to diagram a sentence or pick up some math skills.
Become an engineer. Just get yourself set for the rest of your life. Become an engineer.
Parents, you know, just think of me as a walking cautionary tale.
Isn't that like the definition of parents? Yeah, walking cautionary tales?
You know, a lot of parents can lead by example, and I'm just, at this point, the best I can hope for is, like, just, I'm like, you can do better. You can really, you can,
right.
Without too much effort, you can really, you know, it's the sort of thing, like, you know, every parent's dream is, you know, like, I just want my child to do a little better than I did. And I'm making that real easy for my kids. I'm like, I really, if you put the minimal effort into learning, you know, the basic core, whatever, of school, like, you'll probably do better. If you can just, you know, do anything but doodle in your notebooks all day and ignore all your studies, like, you can probably do better. That is just, you know. Setting the bar real low, right? So they'll feel really good about themselves when they get, you know, an office job or something someday that they can, like, well, at least I did better than Pop.
There you go.
I made him proud. I'm making, you know, whatever. I'm making a decent living, which is more than dad could ever say.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's,
So it's pretty easy to find your comics. They show up on Facebook all the time. For those of you who don't know, it's called Foul Language, F-O-W-L, which is an awesome pun, by the way.
And
you can find it at foullanguagecomics.com. And also, I was just made aware of this, you have an app now.
There's an Android one in the works, but there's an iPhone app. You just go to iTunes, do a search for Foul Language, F-O-W-L. You can get an app, and it's free, and it's ad-free, and I'm a lousy businessman, I guess. Here, get all my stuff. Don't give me any money. I'm like, so it's get it until I get the, like, smarten up. Presumably, I can send out messages through it, like, hey, just if anybody wants to buy a print or something, but and I'm just, for the most part, I'm too lazy to do that. So you can get the comic experience, you know, and unlike Facebook, which all the algorithms and whatever, they can be kind of choosy about what they send in your feed.
Yeah.
The app will make sure that you get everything. So I'm on Facebook and Tumblr and my personal webpage and any number of other media. It takes up a lot of my time.
Right, yeah. I feel your pain. So is the app just the, it's basically the whole collection, right?
Yes, yeah, it serves up all the comics, you can randomize it. It's really cool. I had someone approach me asking if I wanted an app, and he was super kind and super sweet, and I kept waiting for, like, some big switcheroo where he's like, I'll make it happen. I'm like, okay, well, how much? And he's like, no, I'm really a big fan and I want to support you. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And yet, you know, cynical me, and I'm like, just expecting, and like, he's going to do this thing up, and at the end, he's like, going to hold hostage. And like, and if you want the app, it's going to cost you $10 million. But he made it. He made it great. And we, you know, he's just like, here. And I'm like, okay, so what's the catch? He's like, no, just here. This is for you. This is whatever. And it's like, this is amazing. So, he made this wonderful app, and now I have an Android, one in the works with someone else who's, come out, and he's helping me out now with it. And so, yeah, it's
awesome.
It is way cooler than I thought it would be. So, I would love to go back to Mrs. Mack, my algebra teacher in high school, who told me, like, I want you to come back one day and tell me what you became of. And I want to be like this, like, ring up this elderly woman now, like, hey, it's Brian. I have an app now. What do you think about it? Suck on that?
Yeah.
I have a freaking app.
So,
ha, ha, ha.
So, yeah, I actually live, I've thought about that as well. I actually live the next town over from where I went to elementary school.
Oh, boy.
Where my least favorite English teacher of all time was. And now that I have a book out on Kindle, I just want to go visit and be like, look at me! You did nothing to help this! You evil, evil man!
Sides to moving out here. Like I said before, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I came out here to the Midwest, and that was a huge scary thing to do, but it ended up being like the best thing ever, and I recommend it to anybody where you can just completely reinvent yourself, you know, just going to move across the country, show up somewhere, and then, you know, like, people are like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Brian, and I'm really smart and popular, and I can totally throw a football. No, really. And
nice.
I dated in high school. No, seriously. Oh yeah, chicks love me. things have been great up until now. No, really. You can take my word for it. I'm popular and smart, and you know, I'm not. But that only goes for like half an hour later. People are like, I'm seeing through this little facade here.
I just looked up your Facebook profile, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, you did it. Here, throw this football. No, you know, injury. I love to.
Hey, what position did he play in football? I was the guy who threw it. I was the thrower.
I was the throwy catchy guy. I was running, and I wore the thingy on my head, and that was totally me. I was quarterback, halfback, three-quarterback. I was all the backs.
I just kind of bounced around. I was one of those, all-around football player guys. They cycled me in.
Yeah, I can be limited to just one back.
Right.
I did all the backs. Yeah, that's me. For a smart, popular sports guy. So,
could have gone pro.
That's one of the sort of things where, of all the things I dip into on my my comics, sports rarely ever comes into it because I'm just such a sports ignoramus. Because I was too busy learning, you know, like how to draw, you know, talking animals growing up that I couldn't be bothered to go outside or run or play with other children or
right.
Learn any social skills. So nowadays, if there's any sort of comics I write about, which is crazy because my son, he's into all the sports now, and it's the same thing as trying to teach him math, where my son is just like, let's play catch. action. I'm like, okay. And so, like, I'll be up, like, Little League stuff, and they'll be like, okay, you want to hold your mitt like this. And I'm like, hold your mitt like, okay. Like, why didn't anybody ever tell me that?
Right.
This is like, you know, I'm in my 40s. I'm like, this is stuff I can use as well. I'm like, thank you, Little League coach. This is like, I'm finally figuring this out too. So me and my son, it's like an exploration. We're both learning how to do stuff. Like,
there you
he's
go.
In soccer practice, and he, you know, he's like, "Can we play soccer in the backyard?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "No, Dad, you hit it with the side of your foot." I'm like, "Seriously?" I'm like, "That's cool." I'm like, "What do you know about that?" I'm like, "All right." So, yeah, it's nice that my 7-year-old can teach me how to play sports. You know,
nice.
It's a good bonding experience for your 7-year-old to take you out and teach you how to play catch and stuff. You know, it's nice for me. So,
yeah, for me and my daughter, it's song lyrics.
Song lyrics.
Yeah, she loves listening to music, especially Barney. And now I can honestly say I could probably, just on my own, record an entire album or two of, you know, all the featured Barney songs. I know which episodes a very young Selena Gomez is in, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, cartoon trivia, I'm up there.
Yeah, we never did... me and my wife made was to, like, let's never do children's music stuff or really horrible. I mean, there's a few, you know, like, you know, good children's music stuff, but for the most part, I'm like, let's never do Barney. Let's never, like, do the, you know, all the horrible, you know, like, mind-numbing whatever stuff in the car we could. So we've avoided it like the plague. Like, when my son was... I remember my son is in the car. He's probably like 2 months old or something. And I'm like, hey, son, this is London Calling. This is The Clash.
Nice.
Like, I'm going to, like, here, I'm going to, you know, and he's all like, I'm just grabbing my diapers. I don't know what you're going to look like. No, this is music, man. This is real and whatever. And so, so from a very early age, that's, you know, I'm like trying to hide the internet and bad music.
Right.
And, you know, sort of like, so I'm just teaching my children, you know, like keep them ignorant. That's my, there's my great approach to, there's my hot tip. Just keep them ignorant as long as you can. They will, you get out there and pick up this horrible Barney crap off the streets. But, you know, until then, I'm going to try and build a foundation in the car. So, yeah, my son is, he's already a bit of a music snob in the car, so I'll kind of, you know, be shuffling through the iPod and whatever. And we still try and, every once in a while, we'll, on the shuffle there, we have to avoid the, you know, certain rap songs or whatever that get a little too...
Right.
N-wordy.
Yeah, so, well, just a little bit.
You know, I'm like, oh no, this is, let's just, you know, fast forward through that a little bit, but otherwise, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's good. Yeah, I started getting a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Skeptical about Barney. The one day she had on an episode because, you know, the way, so the way Barney works on Netflix is they are multiple episodes all put into collections, and then you view it by collection, and there's one that's 3.5 hours long.
Oh, jeez.
So occasionally when I'm trying to clean the kitchen, I'll put that one on, and she'll just kind of sit there and watch. It's really cool. However, for some reason, I guess just one of the episodes, they were just doing all stories about being, you know, a good person, and one of the stories that they wanted to, or one of the messages they wanted to convey was, you know, you should always listen. You know, if somebody tells you, hey, don't touch that thing, it's probably for a good reason, so you shouldn't touch it, right? So I come into the living room to check on her, and they're doing the story of Pandora's Box. Like, that is an interesting choice. That's an interesting choice for Barney to be doing Pandora's Box, and there was this giant butterfly at the end, and I'm pretty sure I've blocked that one. Like, this is really weird. This is gonna freak out my kid. I don't know about this.
Shows are more sedating. I don't know if you're familiar with, Kipper, by any chance? Kipper the dog?
I do know you. I do know Kipper. Yes.
Yeah. That's a nice sedative right there. Nice little English cartoon. That's kind of this mellow, like, that's a good end of the day, you know, like, where the kids are bouncing off the wall. I'm like, why don't we Kipper this up a little bit, guys? Let's just bring it down. You know, like, some smooth Kipper jams.
You know, like, it's like you walk into the room, it's like, I'm dropping some Kipper on this bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, the kids will be all hopped up on whatever, you know, kind of Cartoon Network stuff, and I'm like, all right, no. I'm like, uppers, downers. I'm like, all right, come on, man. We gotta chill out with some Kipper.
Just gotta chillax, man. Have a nice glass of water, maybe a cup of tea, you know.
Yeah.
You're just gonna chillax.
Chill out here with a sippy cup, just kind of kick back, reflect on our day, you know, watch a little Kipper, you know, let all our cares float away. And it's awesome. Even if the kids don't care, it's like, it's wonderful for me, where, like, the play, my ultimate, it's funny, like, I have all sorts of, like, crazy insomnia issues, and, but the one place I can always fall asleep is, like, if I'm on the couch, like, half covered in children, and there's some, like, horrible TV show, I'm like, I can, you know, just reflexively, like, that's, my body goes to, like, it is time to nap.
I'm yeah.
Like,
I can, yeah.
Like, just, my brain is just like, oh, I need to tune this out. So I'm just gonna, like, I just flatline and just gonna, so it's great. So if I need a nap, like, who wants to watch cartoons? Let's put on a horrible, shitty cartoon. And
nice.
I'm gonna get 21 minutes of nap in, like, boom, like. Like, usually by the end of the credits of whatever horrible TV show I put on for them, like, all right, let's, like, oh, this looks horrible. I'm resume parenting. Again, more handy parenting tips from...
Well, hey, man, I really want to thank you for coming on the show and talking with us. It was a great time. And I just want to say, from all of us in the Facebook community... I want to thank you for putting this comic out, because it really shows finding the humor in the frustration of parenting, and to be honest, a lot of people need help with that. Hey, you do a great job, man. So you can follow him at Foul Comics, FOWL Comics on Twitter. Go check out foullanguagecomics.com and go find the app. If you have Apple products, do it, because then it will just be in the palm of your hand, like everything else in this world nowadays, but it will be in the palm of your hand and you will not regret it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, everybody, have a good week.
You too.